Yevamos Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud 4:10. The Mishnah says Hayevama lo tachalotz v'lo tisyabem ad sheyesh la shlosha chadashim. The woman who's a yevama, meaning her husband died, should not do yibum nor chalitza until 3 months have passed since the death of her husband. The reason for this is we're concerned, first and foremost, that maybe she was pregnant from the first husband, in which case there's no, if the child's viable, there's no place to do yibum or chalitza, not necessary because there's no obligation. But more than that, we want to clarify if there is a child born to whom the child belongs. So therefore we wait these 3 months. Now, the basis for this 3 month waiting is a pasuk. The pasuk says, this is in Bereishis Lamed Ches, pasuk Chav Dalet, referring to Yehuda and Tamar, Vehi Kimishalosh Chadashim, after about 3 months, Vayugad LeYehuda LeEmor, it was told to Yehuda, saying, Zansa Tamar Kalasecha Vagam Hine Hara Lezunim. Look, Yehuda, Tamar was Mezana, and she's actually pregnant. The point is that we see that it was Kimishalosh Chadashim, that it was about 3 months, and therefore we see that after 3 months, typically a woman's pregnancy is evident to outsiders. Now Rashi there happens to learn, like a Midrash and like another day in the Gemara, because of the Schaf K'mishlosh, that it actually could be even just a portion of the first and third month, and then the whole middle month. So you're talking like 60 days instead of 90 days, but that's not the Halacha. The Bar Tanur learns, like the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, when we say 3 months, we mean 90 days. And 90 days here means not including the day the husband died, and not including the day of the marriage. 90 full days where no one should be getting married, to clarify who is or isn't pregnant. Now, of course, the rationale of waiting for Yibum makes sense. As for Chalitza, well, there's no concern about her being impregnated by the new man because he's doing Chalitza instead. The reason, however, that we still say she should wait the 90 days before doing chalitza is because the general rule of kol she'ena ol yibum eina ol chalitza, anyone who's ineligible to do yibum also is not eligible for doing chalitza, and therefore since there's no yibum on the table for 90 days, there also should be no chalitza on the table. That being said, even though it's true that kol she'ena ol yibum eina ol chalitza is a din d'oraisa, since her availability for doing yibum is really a suffix, it's a question, maybe she's pregnant, maybe she isn't, therefore if he does chalitza, so then lechora it's actually binding and the chalitza will be effective and she wouldn't need to do a chalitza again. That's certainly how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if she goes ahead and does chalitza within those 90 days, that chalitza is valid and nothing more to be done. The Ramah, however, does bring a yesh omrim. The Ramah says that there are those who hold that the chalitza is not effective and she has to go back and do it again with other brothers. So that's that. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say that it doesn't just, this 90-day requirement of waiting doesn't just apply prior to doing Yibum, but actually, v'chein kol shar nashim, all women that had a previous marriage, lo yis'asru v'lo yinasu, they should neither do erisin, I'll call that getting engaged now, like kedushin, which makes her like half married, or whatever word is, married to the new husband, but they're not sleeping together yet. V'linasu, nor should they get married in full. Ad shiyu lahen shlosha chadashim, until 3 months, meaning 90 days, have passed since any previous marriage, and that marriage would be either an erisin or a nesuin. And the Mishnah here says that's true across the board, no exceptions. Echad besulos ve'echad be'ulos. It doesn't matter if we're talking about a woman who actually is a besula, meaning she's still a virgin from the first marriage. Let's say, for example, they only did erisin, or the first husband, whatever it was, wasn't around, whatever the detail is. Even if we know for sure she's not pregnant, still, we wait 90 days as a low plug. Ve'echad be'ulos, and of course, all the more so if she actually is a regular wife living with her husband, because she may be pregnant. Therefore, we want to wait 90 days until the second marriage to make sure we know to whom this child belongs. Because even though there's no issue anymore of like a curse or something like that, because the marriage is totally kosher, but we want to know to whom the child belongs. First of all, there's a general principle that Tosfos Yom Tov brings, she'ein shechina shora b'Yisrael el al mi shezaro miyuchas achrav, that there's a spiritual benefit that the shechina only rests on he whom his lineage is known. But more than that, there's all sorts of halachas, like incestuous restrictions, depending on who the father is, of course, who this child can't marry, and therefore it's important to know who the child's parents are. So that's true if it's a ba'ula, and then we say just like kind of extend it to basula as well, as sort of a general rule. And more than that, echad grushos v'echad almanos, it's true whether the first marriage ended in a divorce, grusha, she's a grusha divorcee, or an almana, she's a widow, or if the husband died, doesn't make a difference. Again, we wait the full 90 days. Echad nesuos v'echad arusos, it doesn't matter if the first marriage was a full marriage with nesuin, they've been living together. V'echad arusos, or even if they only had done the first step of marriage, the kedushin, she accepted a ring or something like that, but she wasn't yet fully married. I mean, they weren't actually living together, so of course she's not pregnant. Nevertheless, we have a general rule, again here, that we wait 90 days between one marriage and the next, without any exceptions, to keep things clean and clear, and so no one should be confused. There is a small question to be wondered about regarding performing yibum after a marriage that only had erisin, meaning kedushin in place. I mean, let me speak it out. You have the brothers Reuven and Shimon. Reuven does erisin with Rachel, giving her the ring. They never consummate the marriage. Then he dies. So now the halachas of yibum kick in. She's for sure not pregnant. There's a question if we have to still wait 90 days before yibum or not. On the one hand, maybe it's simply a rule across the board. We should be careful. On the other hand, perhaps the issue is that we were concerned about things like karis, but karis not a possibility over here because she for sure isn't pregnant, and therefore it should be permitted. Okay. Whatever the case is, that's the shita of the Tana Kama. Now, the Mishnah continues and says Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hanesuos yisarsu, vaharusos yinasu." Rabbi Yehuda said, listen, we are waiting 90 days, but we're only waiting 90 days in regular marriage situations to ensure that there's no questions regarding the lineage of whatever childs are born. And therefore, if we have a woman who was previously married in a conventional sense, living with her husband, so there's no reason in the world why not to let her get mu'ureset, to get her, like I'll call it, engaged to a new man within 90 days, because they're not sleeping together, so there's no pregnancy and nothing to be concerned about. And similarly, vaharusos, if the first marriage only was at stage one of erisin, kedushin, but they hadn't yet lived together, no concern she's pregnant, and therefore, yinasu, they should even be allowed to be married within those 90 days, says Rabbi Yehuda. Because no questions are going to arise. It's not a generic low plug, not a generic, you know, no exceptions. Chutz, there is one exception, says Rabbi Yehuda. Min haarusos should be Yehuda. The exception is in the region of Israel, Judea, Yehuda, in the time of Baisheni, there women who are arusos, just engaged, still should not be getting to become nesuos from a second marriage, b'pnei shelibo gasba, because literally, according to Bartanura, because he is already ragil, he's familiar with her. I'll come back to different pshat and what gasba means, but the backstory is, as we see in the Mishnah Ksubos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. The custom in Yehuda, in Judea, in the time of Baisheni was that after a couple got engaged, I'll call it, erison, they actually had private time together in Yichud. They were by themselves. And the idea was this was something that preceded the marriage, but we wanted them to be comfortable with one another so that when they actually really did get married, so the Be'ilas Mitzvah wouldn't be a situation in which they were uncomfortable, ashamed of one another, and would be more natural. So the idea is that for the sake of the goodwill and comfort and well-being of the chasan and kala, we, after they have erisin, we allow them to have to be alone and have privacy. And the concern, of course, is that they're not supposed to, at that point, actually be sleeping together, but it's a distinct possibility. And if there's no one to tell us the contrary, so we actually have to be concerned that indeed they did sleep together, because they had yichud, and that being the case, we're concerned she might be pregnant. And therefore, if it was only erisin for the first marriage, and then the marriage ends because the husband dies, we have to be concerned maybe she's pregnant if it was an engagement that happened in Yehuda, and wait the full 90 days, says Rabbi Yehuda. So that's an exception. Mipnei shelibo gasba, because his heart, literally his heart is gasba. Gas usually means fat. But in the context here, The bartender learns, like Rashi, that gas means ragil. He's just very comfortable with her, which could have led to intimacy. Others learn that gas here means like a lush and kirva, like they're close together. They had private time together and they could be pregnant. Perhaps the Tos Yom Tov brings that it's from like a gasos ruach, like arrogance, again, overly comfortable. But whatever the point is, whatever the exact translation of the word is, the point is clear. Reb Yudah holds, we're concerned that the people of Yehuda might be pregnant even in the stage of Erison, and therefore we have to wait 90 days after an Erison that ends before she can marry somebody else. Reb Yossi actually agrees that principle. He just says there's another exception. He's with Reb Yehuda. He just says that kol anashim yisasru chutz min ha'almana v'bnei ha'ebel. Reb Yossi says, listen, everything is true like what Reb Yehuda said. People can get engaged even after a previous marriage within 90 days, engaging in erison, with the exception of women who are now widows. Because if they are widows, so then they're supposed to observe a period of mourning. The halacha is, not after erison actually, but after nisuin, that the husband and wife are considered to be like relatives, and there's an obligation of a velus, of mourning, to dinder abundant, but an obligation to mourn one another, and therefore it's inappropriate to get married during that 30-day mourning period. And that being the case, Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol anashim yisasru, he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that everyone can get erison, can get engaged, chutz min ha'almana, the woman who's a widow in those 30 days should not be getting engaged, mivnei ha'ibul, because she's supposed to be observing this mourning period. Reb Yehuda disagrees. Reb Yehuda says, of course, a woman for 30 days after the death of her husband has to be in mourning. But erison is not a violation. That erison is not a particularly happy event. It's just, you know, assuming they're not making a party or something, they're just getting committing to one another for later on to get married. So that's going to be permitted within the 30 days, says Reb Yehuda, because it's not really a simcha yet and not a violation of a velus. That's certainly how we observe things today. Like, for example, in the Shavuot Shechalbo of Tisha B'Av, even though the intense mourning is on, we do still allow for erison to happen in that time. Not like Rabbi Yossi. The halacha b'pashtus is, as Shulchan Aruch says, that people can get engaged during those 30 days, even if she's erison, but not nesuin. The Ramah again brings those that are machmir, not to get engaged in those 30 days. On top of that, but chutz mizeh, outside of that, everyone agrees that there must be at least 90 days between one marriage and the next, but erison engagement can happen within those 90 days.